Glory to God. Glory to God. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. There's too much resources available in a believer's meeting for anyone to live the same. Too much. Believer's meeting is not because they tag it believer's meeting, a special meeting. No. Church where believers are gathered. That's a believer's meeting. Has a believer's meeting. There's too much. I don't know. Is it possible to say too much God present for a person is not to be blessed? God is at work in you. God is at work in others. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. We honor what is yours. We honor what you have given us. We maximize it. We use it to the fullest. We use it to the fullest. And our lives are made better by it. Our lives are made better by it. Our lives are made better by it. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Have a seat. Thank you. Of his perfect will. His perfect will. We're going to start with that will, the will of God. This is maximizing the spirituals. Honor, part 3. Maximizing the spirituals. Honor, part 3. Of course, here part 3 means we've done part 1, part 2. And now part 3. 1 Corinthians 12. Start from there as always. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Verse 1. Now, concerning spiritual gift, there is italicized. So, if you remove it, we have not compromise the chapter, integrity of the chapter, because we see that what Paul was discussing, chapter 12, 13, 14, it's a broad scope of things pertaining to the Spirit, not just gifts, as it were. So that is why we don't, we can read it without gifts. So now concerning spiritual, brethren, I will not have you ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles, carried away unto dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. So we said that concerning the spiritual, it is possible for a man to be ignorant. Even though you are born again, you are a man of the Spirit. Your nature is spiritual. It is still very possible that you can be ignorant when it comes to things spiritual. It is very possible to be ignorant. And how much you get from this determines or is dependent on your knowledge. I keep giving you the example of a washing machine that can do everything from dirty clothes to folding. But you only use it for washing. You have not maximized. So the spirituals, since it's ours, is meant for us to maximize it. Ensure we get 100%. How do we do that? Through understanding. Is why we have learned. So we've been looking at honor. That one way we can get maximize the spirituals is through honor. Honor. And we saw that honor is to value, to esteem highly. We saw what God has called honor, or the honor God has given to the believer, which is himself. Himself. So that was, we've done a lot so far. But now we're going to be looking at honor as touching prophecy. Prophecy. That's why I told you that I've done the practical of what I wanted to teach, or what I'm going to teach. There are a lot of things I need to say concerning explaining prophecy, but because exams are going on today and I want to close by 12, I'll skip several things. But as we sang, he's at work here on earth through me, and God's working is in his perfect will. God's will, we have seen countless times, is salvation and its ministry. Salvation. So if there's going to be prophecy, it can never be outside salvation and ministry. Unfortunately, we live in an age where prophecy now means many things. Prophesy, Papa. See into my life. X-ray me. People now have used a lot of things to substitute prophecy. That prophecy is to just stand before someone and be talking both relevant and irrelevant things. And at the end, they drop a prophet offering and they go. But scriptures are clear on what prophecy is. It is very clear that it can only be as touching salvation. First Peter, let's start from there. First Peter, chapter 1, verse 8. Whom having not seen, you love, in whom though now you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify, when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. So we see that all that was signified to them, all they said as prophets, was salvation. For them, it was the salvation that was to come. For us, it's as touching the salvation that we have received. As touching the salvation that we have received. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 2. He that speaketh in a tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him, that is, no man understandeth tongues, albeit in the spirit he speaketh mysteries. But he that prophesied speaketh unto men, to what? Edification and exhortation and comfort. He that speaketh in the tongue edified himself, but he that prophesied edified the church. So prophecy there is about, or the result of prophecy is edification in ministry. Comfort as touching ministry. Comfort is not to know when your baby will manifest. It is to help the church, as we have seen. So, it is as touching ministry. Exhortation, as touching ministry. Building up in things spiritual. In things spiritual. The end result is to get the man or the believer to understand who he is in Christ and reflect it well. That's why we have prophecy. Get the man in Christ to understand who he is in Christ and to better reflect it. It's why we have prophecy. Not to fill up church. Not to make service more interesting. Not to serve as a comic relief in church. It has a specific use if it is prophecy as regards to the scripture. So how do we maximize this? How do we ensure we get the best? What should be our response, our attitude towards these words as they come? What is honor here? That's what we want to look at this morning. First of all, you must understand that God is a source of utterance. Things you must know to maximize prophecy. God is the source of utterance. Source of the utterance. Prophecy is to speak inspiredly. Inspired. You see it in 2 Peter 1, 19 to 21. The prophecy came not in old time by the will of men, but holy men of God spoke, moved by the Holy Ghost. Same thing today. Same thing today. Even 1 Corinthians 12, Paul says, no man speaking by the Spirit. So when you speak in the place of prophecy, it's by the Spirit. And there are things you must not say. We must not hear from a man speaking by the Spirit of God. So first of all, understand that it is God at work. God is the source of this utterance. As we have sung, he's at work. At work. Your default first, you are receiving the word from a believer. The default is he born again? Of course. Then this is God speaking. This is God speaking. Acts chapter 21. Acts 21. Acts chapter 21. Verse 3. Now when we had discovered Cyprus, we left it on the left hand and sailed unto Syria and landed at Tyre. For there the ship was to unlade our burden. And finding disciples, I'm in verse 4 now, 21:4. And finding disciples, we tarried there 7 days. Who said to Paul through the Spirit that we should not go up to Jerusalem? So we see men, disciples there, whom they've maybe not met before, they've met before, and they were telling Paul, don't go to Jerusalem. And the writer said, it is the Spirit speaking. Verse 11 of that same scripture, or verse 10. And as we tarried there many days, there came down from Judea a certain prophet named Agabus. And when he was come unto us, he took Paul's girdle, bound his own hands and feet, and said, thus saith the Holy Ghost, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owneth this ghetto and shall deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. So, when people heard this, they started begging Paul not to go. That is seeing that, hey, it is the Holy Ghost that said. They were seeing a man speaking. Not the Holy Ghost in front of them. A man was in front of them speaking. But they said the Holy Ghost. What was Paul's own statement concerning that? Acts 20, verse 22. And now behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that, I mean, except that, the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. So see what Paul said. He said the Holy Ghost is what? Speaking in every city. That is the first default you must have concerning utterance. It is not a man talking. See beyond the man. It is Christ. It is God. It is the Spirit speaking. That is your attitude in reception. Never lose sight of the source. Never lose sight of the source. Don't be carnal. Focus only on how the person is dressed. Don't be carnal. Let me not go more on that. So, as you have seen, knowing that this is the Spirit of God speaking in every believer. Now, much more. Recognize these workings of God in your leaders. Much more. Much more. If you can honor first, say, hey, God is at work in me. God is at work in this believer. Honor that utterance coming from them is not theirs, but God's. Then much more, you should be able to attribute that honor to your leaders. To your leaders. Why? Hebrews 13. course, we have said in part one, part two already, because of their work, you must be able to understand that these ones have a duty. You don't get lost in the fact that he has the Holy Ghost, so do I. You were not given oversight over yourself. Someone else was given oversight over you. So you respond and honor that much more. Hebrews 13, are you there? Are you there? Okay, verse 17. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Now see the words used there. It says the leaders, they have the rule over you. That means they have authority over you. And why? Because they watch for your souls. Watch there means to keep watch, to pay attention. It actually suggests sleeplessness. The leaders have a duty to keep watch, to use microscope, to be checking your state, your spiritual state. They watch over your souls. It is their duty. And your response to that is to submit, to obey, so they can do their work well. And it tells you there that they have to give account. They are watching over your souls, and they will give account. Why will they give account? Because they did not send themselves. They were placed there. The duty was given to them by someone over all of you, the chief shepherd. So they will give account. So you recognize your leaders as the ones God has given you for your, which word will I use now? To take care of you, your spiritual state, most importantly. We have handled all these before. Acts 20:28. The Holy Ghost sets you as overseers over the flock of Christ. 1 Corinthians 12:28. God has set some in the church. Apostles, prophets. See there. Ephesians 4:11. He that descended, ascended, gave gifts as men. We have explained all that. So you must trace the source and say, this is God given to me. That is how you see your leaders. Because of that, because they have a responsibility over you, definitely they will not be without the resources to ensure it is done. Knowing that God has given these ones over you, that means God says, take care of Happy. It means that what Happy will need, I should have. Is that clear? So once you recognize that, okay, this leader is God's gift to take care of me, I will also trust that he has what I need. He has what I need. So when utterance comes from him, you should see it clearly as, hey, this is what I need. This is God ensuring I have what I need. Are you following me so far? Sure you are following me. Don't lose me anywhere. That's your default response. This is God ensuring I have what I need. And what are you to do concerning that? We'll just look at three things we should do about that, and then we'll close. Meditate. Your first responsibility, you should meditate. In the Hebrew parlance, meditate means to imagine, to speak, to mutter, to think on something. But it doesn't show something that is done passively. You are meditating as you are watching film. Except you're not watching the film, except it's just playing. You're using this film as background. Okay. But you are watching a movie. Your mind is there following the plot. Who go kill the actor? you already imagine the plot before it ends. Then they come to you and say, I'm not just doing, this is not the only thing I'm doing. As I'm watching this movie right now, I'm meditating. I'm meditating on what I learned in service today. Who are you deceiving? So it is not something passive. It's not what you can just be doing and you will not know that you are doing. Yeah, I'm meditating in my mind. But your mind also knows that you are meditating. Well done. So you will see it is what it's like giving attention to something. Pay attention to it. Pay attention. It is not casual. Let's see how this instruction plays out, how you are to meditate on words received. Let's go again and look at the relationship between Moses and Joshua. We saw a bit of that last week. Moses. Numbers. Before you think I said you should open the book of Moses. Numbers. There's no book called Moses. Numbers. Numbers 27, verse 18. Well, let me start reading from verse 15. And Moses spake unto the Lord, saying, let the Lord, the God of the spirit of all flesh, set a man over the congregation, which may go out before them, which may go in before them, and which may lead them out, and which may bring them in, that the congregation of the Lord be not as sheep which have what? No shepherd. So you see an importance first. These persons need a leader. There must be a leader here. A leader must be present. We have leaders for the sake of order. Training order. There is a reason why leaders are appointed. You may all have the Spirit of God, but there must be a leader. Must be a leader. So you see what Moses said there, that please, let there be a leader, because he knows he was going to depart, so that these people will not wander aimlessly. Then verse 18, and the Lord said unto Moses, take thee Joshua, the son of Nun, a man in whom is the Spirit, and lay thy hand upon him. Set him before Eleazar the priest, and before all the congregation, and give him a charge in their sight. So, two things here. Moses is to lay hands. Moses is to give what? Instruction to Joshua. And he's to do it before the congregation. Why? And thou shalt put some of thy honor upon him, that all the congregation of the children of Israel may be obedient. So, the leader must be publicly seen that, hey, these are your leaders, or this is your leader. This is the person you must listen to. Your response will now be what? According to that place, what's your response? Obedience. Obedience. So we see Moses lay hands. Moses instruct. Deuteronomy chapter 34. Deuteronomy 34, verse 9. Deuteronomy 34, verse 9. Didn't write exam yesterday night. And I knew when your review ended. My eyes are on you. Deuteronomy 34, verse 9. Okay. And Joshua the son of Nun was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands upon him, and the children of Israel hearkened unto him and did as the Lord commanded. So we see it again be repeated that Moses laid hands on him and Joshua had the spirit of God on him. Now see Joshua 1:8. Joshua 1 from verse 7. Okay, let me read from verse 6. This is now after Moses has gone. Be strong, be of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto the fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. At least I know that this scripture, if you're at least a student in school, you should know it. This scripture was used countless times. And they will now say the book of the law is your school book. So meditate and give. Anyway, so, but the response there of Joshua to instruction was to meditate. Hands have been laid on you, yes. Words have been given. Your duty, pay attention. Pay attention. Of course, according to the content of the scripture, that will be the doctrine of Christ. Doctrine of Christ. But his default duty there is to ensure that it doesn't depart from your mouth. That is the meditation. That means you keep speaking these things. If you ponder on it, it reflects in your mouth. Day and night. The way to ensure, the way you to get the results you seek, the way to ensure that, hands have been laid on you, but to ensure that you do this ministry well, give yourself to this. Meditate. Meditate. Let's see another example. Let's see Mary. You know, I asked you a question last week. How is it that a woman gave birth to the Messiah and she did not see that as a means to disdain him? Remember that question, right? And some of you, if you were the one that born Jesus before not hear what? See, you were born. If I not tell you, say your name not Jesus, if I know, then you would have just been. Anyway, why did she do that? Let's see Mary. Luke 1. Luke chapter 1. How was she able to look beyond the humanity to ensure she got the best? Luke 1. Then Mary said, 34. Oh my God. Okay. The things to read here. Luke 1, verse 31. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? The angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she also had conceived a son in her old age. This is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed. And what did Moses do? She arose in those days, went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judah, entered into the house of Zechariah, and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. And Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord. And then she gave a long psalm concerning that, was rejoicing in what has been said. So, how many words have Mary been receiving? The angel spoke. Elizabeth said the same thing, the mother of our Lord. Now let's see chapter 2. Chapter 2. Verse 10 and 11. This is an angel appearing to the shepherds. 10 and 11, and the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Okay, now flip to verse 16. And when they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger, when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. Right? That this is the Savior that is born to save man. So they said it. Mary heard all these things. Verse 19. But Mary kept... Okay, verse 18. And all that heard it wondered at those sayings which were told them by the shepherd. Verse 19. Everyone, let's read that together. And pondered them in her heart. So this is Mary's response. She kept them. People... They didn't say these things in secret. These things were said. Even what Zechariah said, Mary most likely heard it. But the difference between her was that she was gathering them. She was gathering them. She was holding on to them, pondering on them in her heart, meaning she was meditating upon them. Now, let's see the same Luke 2, verse 25. 25. This was when they now carried Jesus to the temple for their, it's not baby dedication. Their purification, as they call it. Then, verse 25, and behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simon. The same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for my eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of all thy people Israel. Okay, verse 37. And we're talking about another lady there, Anna. She was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she, coming in that instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. So they did all that. Mary, why do I keep saying Moses? Mary heard all these things, kept them in her heart. Then, verse 45, this was when Jesus had grown up. He was 12 years old and they went to the feast of the Passover. Coming back, he stayed back. Verse 45, and when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. Came to pass that after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, How is it that you sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business? And they understood not the sayings which he spake unto them. He went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. But, everyone read together, all these things in our heart. So this is the difference. It was no surprise that she was present at Pentecost. It was no surprise that his brethren were. Because from everything that has been said before he was born, she discarded none. All utterances that came forth concerning the son she was to bear, she treasured all, pondered on them. So this is it. So as he's acting or as he's filling in his role, she's not surprised. She's rather happy that this that has been spoken is playing out. That is the response of meditation. Once you receive words, you are meditating on them, you will be expecting them to play out. There will be an expectation on your mind that, okay, when will this happen? And you are eager to see it. But once it's not in your mind at all, there is nothing to look forward to. You are just going anywhere by their face. See 1 Timothy First Timothy chapter 4. First Timothy 4. First Timothy chapter 4. Verse 14. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Verse 15, everyone read together. May appear to all. So what are you to do? Meditate on it. Meditate there means to care for, to give attention, to revolve in the mind. You know when something is revolving in your mind, it's replaying in your mind. To imagine it. That's another meaning of meditation. Imagine. How many of you imagine here? Yeah, don't lie. If you used to imagine things, let me see your hands. We're done. How many of you imagine your prophecies playing out? Glory to God. So, but averagely, what do you imagine? What fills your thoughts normally? We're done. Some persons, okay, see? Maybe as often as we have called that Moana, she must say, I'm start seeing her dream. Like, if I was like this, how will life be if I was like this? How will life be if it was Dangote that gave birth to me? That imagination will take you 2 hours. Your mind is just going. From here, and you know, imagination is so tricky. You start from point A. You land at point K. And then you now wonder, how did I get here? You will now retrace yourself back to point A and now laugh. Oh, then you go back to K. you're just going. Imagination. Things that, in fact, some of you, the movie has finished playing. The movie has ended. You now spend 2 days. How will it have ended like this? What if it was like, why not like this? Why? That thing was too good. Ah, these people, like some people sitting on my left here. Say, these writers are bad. How did they used to conceive these things? But you mean that you're thought, you just imagine. Men and brethren, you are to imagine the things spoken out, spoken over you. That is what the Bible instructs you to meditate on. You receive the word that your diligence to your devotion to the word will lead to the salvation of hundreds in no time. What should occupy your meditation by then? Wow. Hundreds. Ah. Just see that I will go to a town and I will just preach. Ah, wow. So if I'm giving myself to this, does the event, at least let that one be scenario playing out in your mind. That's how you meditate. Not that you just say, oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Ah, amen. 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 And that's the end. No. And what is the opposite there? See verse 14. It says, neglect not the gift that is in thee. 15 now says, meditate upon them. So that means not meditating is what? Neglecting. Neglect means to be careless. To make light of something. Not to regard something. So immediately you're not keeping this in your mind. Words have been spoken to you 2 years ago. Some of you, you keep hearing the same thing. 5 years. You have not taken one step to act on it. One. It's just that church, now so they won't be. Once you come, they must give you word. You are just the word I want to use is not befitting for a new creation, so I just had to hold it. Thank you, Lord. You are okay. Just know what's the value of the importance of No, but if we say a fool, you should be right. Because a fool is the one that does not what? You know, that definition just helps us a lot. To just be able to just put things in their place. The person is actually, you're just being a fool, actually. And I say that with all sense of regard to your status as a believer. But you're being a fool. So, words, you receive words. Some of you are just, somebody is telling you, please, come. Imagine she's giving me a word, now you have been speaking. You give me a word. Are you not a fool? No, are you not a fool? Because you have failed all the checklist of wisdom. You are not recognizing that's God speaking. You are not honoring it. That's your leader. You are being pure. And the words that are coming, as you leave here, in 5 minutes you are forgotten. You know, there's a person, some of you, that some words come. Like, if, for example, if I give you a word, I just look at 1 month, 2 months, 3 months. Not one. Don't be a fool. Tell your neighbor, don't be a fool. Just don't be a fool. The words are not to, they are not to make you know that there is something called gifts of the Spirit that we like to use to shine. It is for your edification, your comfort, your exhortation. See it as God is saying, I need this. To make progress on this part, I need this. If you say you are doing a business and you know you need 20 million to make that business work, and you are giving 20 million, how will you react? You are happy because you know that you have received what you need to make it work. Is that not true? That is what prophecy is. It is strength for you in ministry. So your work has been given to you. Utterance is coming for that. Is God ensuring you have resources you need to get the work done, and you are acting like a fool. Ensure you repent. Ensure you repent. Meditate, regard it. See the words as yours. Don't just say, especially if it's on a media social media platform. Instructed, sir. Copy and paste. Your copy and paste your instructed, sir. No diligence to see these words as yours. Repeat it to yourself. Repeat it. A statement comes for the whole church. The pastor is giving, that's why I always tell you, pastor is teaching and he gives tongues and interpretation. Post your, this, write it clearly, tongues and interpretation. Note it. Write it there. You just ignore, you just be shaking your head. Amen. And when you now continue teaching, you now start writing, are you not a fool? You note it there. As you are going over, any time you ever pick your notes, you see it again. Not writing what you have been given. Okay. So, see it as your own. Pick the words as yours. Say them repeatedly to yourself. You have time on your hands. You have time on your hands. Like in Yoluwa, he has too much time. Too much time. Too much time on your hands. Too much time. Use some of that time to meditate on utterance. You know, I've been giving you things more small to be using the time for, right? Add this one. Too much time in your hands. Some of you should not be watching film for the next. You don't watch a film for the at the way your life is right now. You should not watch a movie for the next 5 years. They know themselves. 5 years, you should not just even watch a movie. Meditate upon these things. So, these are words you run with. 1 Timothy 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 18. 1 Timothy 1:18. Except you're not interested in ministry. You know, that is when you take prophecy carelessly. You understand, right? If you have no interest in ministry, But if ministry is what you are holding strong, you can never discard utterance. Never. So your attitude that concerning prophecy shows is a direct reflection on how you value ministry. 1 Timothy 1:18. This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went on before on thee, that thou by them mightest what? Way good warfare. You will fight where? By these prophecies. There's an assurance in prophecy that gives you momentum in ministry. I told you that in what which series is that? The Walk Before Us. I will not set it as a that is always coming as contest question. I don't know why. Anybody I give Walk Before Us to set question, we put it there. I will not put it there. See, you're writing it today, though. It will not be there. Even if it's there, I cancel it by the power of God. So prophecy gives you assurance. What's momentum, speed, and strength? He says, by these words, you will war a good warfare. We saw on Friday why saints need to persevere. It's not a fanfare. By declaring yourself on this path of ministry, you have made an enemy of yourself, or you have made the devil an enemy. You are saying, hey, you have drawn the line. I'm here, you are there. So you will not expect to have all roses and flowers. It's a warfare. So when you see one of your resources to fight it well, prophecy, you don't treat it anyhow. Especially coming from your leaders. So what is they say? The son, I have my son Timothy. What I have given you. Some of you, what you are expecting your leaders to give you every time: money, job, connection. They give you prophecy. A word given. If in fact you should value utterance to the point that you are given a choice, 1 million naira. Pastor wants to give you 1 million naira, and he wants to give you words as touching ministry. Go for the words as touching ministry. So people are looking at me like this, like they're looking at me like Pastor Joe. Pastor Joe. I know I want to see in this expression. This you must not see. They are blocking you. They are blocking this. I will see you where. Yes, ma. But seriously, it shows what you own. This will help you in ministry. The 1 million will finish. I'm talking about from your pastor. Go and get it. I'm not saying that we go to bank and ask them for prophecy. Go to bank, go and meet them for low. Let them give you JJ. Your pastor is wants to give what you should value more from him are those words. Are those words? What you must value more? What you must value more? To have the right attitude towards listening to your leaders, towards receiving prophecy. Talked about meditation. Meditation will show you writing it down in how often you go back to it. You know, something else you must do. Take action. Take action. The prophecy of your leaders, utterance of your leaders to you, you must not place it in the realm of discretionary advice. Optional, which word can I use now? It's one of those things. Take it or leave it kind of thing. Never. You are just setting up yourself to fail in ministry. That's why I said, except ministry is not your focus. And of course, once you say ministry is not your focus, you're already saying you're a fool as a believer, because every believer has been given the ministry of reconciliation, which we saw in the first sermon, that you are in the oldest intention of God in all time, right? That intention that supersedes everything else. So not treating that as important and priority is already showing, is a reflection already on your wisdom, which is that you are what? Not wise. Okay, maybe I should stop using, I've used fool too much. You are not wise. Mm-hmm. So, never see it as discretionary. No. Prophecy from them, especially, they have instructions and directions. They are instructions and directions. For example, you will not be giving your leaders instruction in prophecy, right? You won't. You won't. You can admonish. General admonishment. You can offer as in normal words of comfort. Just say it. And if you have something, you know that, okay, you believe the church should be sent in that direction. You know channels. We have addressed all this now, right? You know how to pass it across. And so that's not my focus. Let me not go there. But once it's coming from your leader to you, then it is an instruction. It's direction. It's direction. It's direction. It said, recognize the workings of God in men, much more in your leaders because of their responsibility. So when a person who has oversight over you is saying this, take heed to this. The persons I've told, pastors even say it several sometimes, you just go, listen to this sermon, go and pay attention to this, do this. It's not discretionary. It is immediate, take action. Let's see how someone did this. 2 Chronicles 15. 2 Chronicles 15. Verse 1. And the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Oded, and he went out to meet Asa, and said unto him, Hear ye me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you while you be with him, and if you seek him, he will be found of you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. Now for a long season, Israel had been without a true God, and without a teaching priest, and without law. But when they in their trouble did turn unto the Lord God of Israel and sought him, he was found of them. And in those times there was no peace to him that went out, nor to him that came in. But great vexations were upon all the inhabitants of the countries. A nation was destroyed of nation, city of city, for God did vex them with all adversity. Be ye strong therefore, let not your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded. And when Asa heard these words and the prophecy of Oded the prophet, verse 8, I think we are going to read verse 8 together. Now you see the words have come, right? Words of a prophet. Verse 8, everyone. And knew the altar of the Lord, I was before the porch of the Lord. It went down to verse 15. You see the immediate action he took. See, when he heard it, he took courage. It was something he wanted to do before. Knew should be done. But immediately he received those words. Immediately, his response was to act on it. His response was to act on it. He took courage. So prophecies give you strength to do what you should do. Do what you should do. You know that something is lacking. Every time we know that, I should be better in this. And you receive such a word from your pastor, from your leaders, your response should be immediate. Take action. Take action. Pull down things. Pull down what you should pull down. See 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel. Chapter 1. We looked at Anna the last time and her response to Eli. Verse 15. We'll read again from verse 14. 1 Samuel 1, verse 14. And Eli said unto her, How long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. And Anna answered and said, No, my lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thy handmaiden for a daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. Verse 17. Everyone, let's read Eli's response to her. Go in peace. Did they even ask details? Did you know what was happening? But he said, go in peace. Your petition, let God grant your petition. Simple words. Simple. What was Anna's response? Everyone, verse 18. No more sad. Before then, she was not eating. She was budding. But immediately, Eli finished speaking. Let me find grace in your sight. Simple words. It was not a deliverance session. Some of you, if probably how your pastor had told you, you know that is why many of these deliverance centers are thriving, right? You know now. So basically, will tell you that, you don't know how it's done. You want, I'm preaching like this, just doing small, wait for you. How will I look like I'm a good preacher? You want to look like someone that have power, you want to just be saying, you're blessed. That's not, what's that? You're blessed. You're blessed. In fact, the person who responds to you, you are blessed too, sir. Your body is blessed. Your strength is yours. Small words like that, they are not. But if it was, stand up on your feet. Hey, you're not putting kind of dishonor this one. I said, stand up on your feet. What is this one? In the name of Jesus, this is the hair that is causing your problem. The color of this hair is showing the color of your life. Your spirit has aged, and your body physically has not aged. So, we do 21 days deliverance. See, the anointing upon my life is strong. Neither. If I be a man of God, let fire. You really have PhD in this. Help her. Until I do that. But if I do that one, what will our reaction have been? You now go home. How was service today? The man of God has spoken into my life. I can never be the same again. My life has changed. You see how you are a fool. Oh, yeah, no wise. What was Eli's response? A woman has been troubled with, she didn't have children for years. Eli said, go. Your desires, God grant it. And thank you, sir. She went to eat. She was happy. Finish. The worst, next thing we hear, she became pregnant. Oh, no. Simple words. Simple words. Simple words. Don't always look for the spectacular until they have laid hands on you, turn you around, remove your wig, throw it away. Before you know that power has worked on you, you are being foolish. And that is what people are exploiting. Why? Because all that is needed is your faith. So for that, you see a man that is zero word, zero nothing. All it does is to shout and throw oil around. And the people are receiving what they want to get. Why? Because of all the honor they have carried in like this. You with all your word, all the knowledge, bless you, still cannot help you. You are waiting. And unfortunately for you, you are in a world environment where you will not even have that. So if that is what you were needing to amplify your faith, yeah, you are. What have you done? You have what? You have zero. I see. You have just gone. So don't be like that. Honor simple things. Honor simple words. There is power in every word spoken to you. No word of God is devoid of power. None. Even the words the angel gave, we don't see any spectacular thing. We just saw words. Words. But honor change makes the difference. Honor makes a difference. Honor makes a difference. So, what is your response after receiving a word? Response must be immediate. Don't just, you get God to say, Pastor laid hands on you in service, gave you words. Then after the service, all that is in your head is Eba, or a game that is going to start in 30 minutes. Say you see that you're not wise. Say you see you're not wise. Words are spoken over you. Take a fast. Pray all night. This night I'm praying all night on this. Every word pastor has ever told me, I still remember 80% in my head. All written down. All. If you won't give me with church, I will write it down. From you. Talk of pastor. All, every word Pastor Jonah has ever spoken when he laid hands on me, they're in my head. They're in my head. I'm in a group where friends of us, when we're in university, about almost 13, 14 years ago, when we became friends because of the spirituals. We just wanted to grow. So recently, in our WhatsApp group, one of the ladies said, let us share words that we've received then. Because, of course, we always had meetings amongst ourselves. We had our leaders come to just pray with us. And they said, okay, if you remember any word, as somebody said, if you remember any word that they spoke concerning me, please put it here so that I can say. I don't remember about any other person. I used to write my own down, JJ. But I knew my own. And some persons were now trying to write, they were writing for me as in what words that they were there when it was received. And then somebody now said, ah, that she remembered this one clearly. And that is why she's not surprised my life turned out like this. You know, I'm talking about, I was in school, I was quite very small then, I was smallish, like our young lawyers. But I was receiving words of, that was beyond me. I simply wrote it down. So in my imagination, my life would not have been like this. But as I'm seeing it playing out, I'm not scared. I'm not. I've been prepared for it. And even what I'm here to see, I've been prepared for it. I know the words you among them have given me. That men will be strong. We will raise strong men. That's a small walk. We'll start and going all around like this. I'm not surprised. I remember the words that came forth when we started Kaduna. I'm not surprised. I didn't start from where I was supposed to start because of time. But we have direction in ministry, true or trans. It should not take you unawares. It should not. As my work is increasing, if I ever try to be scared, I always remember, this was said. I can do it. I shake my head again. Yes, I'm equipped for this. That's what utterance does for you. That's what it does for you. Never take it casual. And then you are wondering, why are you struggling? Why is it that I'm trying to... Every time, you don't know why. No, now I'm telling you. You have disregarded words that should have given you strength. You have neglected your supply of strength. Repent. Don't be in a hurry to leave. What is biting you? Our chair is biting you. Also, don't be in a hurry to engage, except you're a leader trying to engage a first time out, somebody that you're trying to, that you know will soon escape. Don't be in a hurry to be striking conversation. Don't you have yourselves to talk with every time? After service, must your default always be, how are you? Look for, after church, I should be seeing persons in different, and you have sense too. Someone is trying to meditate on something. You are going. Answer me now. Hello? Do like you are focused and trying to meditate on something. It's not you I'm talking to. Moana, how are you? Give yourself sense. Learn to respect when persons want to at least have, because it's not like we can always find spots to go and hide under that rock. It's this same place. We can still have privacy among ourselves. So learn to respect it. After service, somebody is still praying. Leave him alone. The 5 minutes he needs to just, you will talk what you want to talk after then. If you don't want to focus, don't now drag everybody into your realm of unseriousness. Is that clear? Okay, let's just round up now. I think we have almost analyzed everything we need. Okay, Matthew 11. This will be our last scripture, and then we'll close on this. Matthew chapter 11. Matthew 11. Our service this week is Wednesday. And of course, well, Matthew 11. No, we have a week that is free now. We have exam, almost exam free week. So we have to maximize. Matthew 11, are you there? Okay. Verse 1. And it came to pass, when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. Now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent 2 of his disciples and said unto him, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Jesus answered and said unto them, Go and show John again these things, which you do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. Blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. Now, what do we see here? John himself is called by Jesus himself. Jesus called John the greatest of all the prophets. Why? Because of the clarity of his utterance. John was the one who told us, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. He must increase and I must decrease. Though Pastor, we always hack him on that, that he should say, he must increase and I must fade away. I must vanish. I must disappear. Not be dragging spotlight. I'll be going small, small. So, this was John. You cannot say the man did not have full revelation. But what has happened? Whether his own physical distress has affected him, or he was expecting that since he commissioned or he announced Jesus, he also knows the time frame of what should be done. I don't know what would have triggered John to do this. But this was his question to Jesus. And Jesus' response was, Hey, blessed is the man who is not offended. That offended there shows, like, who is not disappointed in me. Who is not disappointed. So, when you have received your words, don't let doubt change your utterances. Don't let physical circumstances make you doubt it. That word that you have received, you are sent to a place. Say, ah, you're going to a new location. Start ministry there. And words were spoken over you. The Holy Ghost has said, as I always tell you, and you go there 1 year, 2 years, you're not seeing what you have heard. Don't let the physicals doubt the utterance. Doubt everything else apart from that utterance. Do you understand? Don't let the physicals make you doubt that utterance. Doubt, and let everything else be what you would doubt, but not that utterance. Mm-mm. Have so much honor for that word that these words I have received, it supersedes what is happening right now. The words I have received stand sure, stands firm, stands certain. The words I have received, the words I have received, the words I have received. Honor it that much. Things are happening, things are not happening. Let your honor for that word not waver. Honor it that much. Because that is what happens. Why people lose consistency? They got a word. Some pastor told you one time and said, some persons, why did you come to a divine assembly? And some persons were giving their spectacular circumstances. He said, do you know what has happened between then and now? Some of you, what? Forgot that. You forgot that, hey, you were sent here for a reason. Then you now allow other things. Now change that, your focus. Your value for the setting starts declining. Honor that first word. Honor it. Some of you had, you had said, this man will grow me. See, any, no matter the man, even if fire is coming out from the man's head like this, if you allow humanity to set in, your value will depreciate. You know, you 3 years ago, the way you were, how you were anticipating your pastor's words were like this. What has happened between then and now? What has happened between then and now? Then you're just like, if only I can be close to this man. If only I can be under the ministry of this man. What has happened between then and now? What? What? Hold that honor. Those first words, never let it go. Never let it go. Because I promise you, things will not always want to make it obvious for you. Like, make honor easy. Things will always not want to make honor easy for you. No. The devil is not trying to encourage you on this path. But you, let honor always be top-notch. Let it always be top-notch. Over and beyond. Over and beyond. Don't waver in honor. Don't waver in your appreciation of God's gifts to you. Don't lose sight in their words. Your path is guaranteed. Your path is guaranteed. Bow your heads and pray. Bow your heads and pray. Bow your heads and pray. You honor what God honors. A man that honor what God honors. We have already done the practical of what we were supposed to do earlier. We are going to do another practical before you go home. Not that's what we have done, but something else. You will understand. But just pray. Repent if you're a man that have slipped into dishonor. Dishonor of God's men. Dishonor of words you have received. Repent. Let repentance be immediate. Don't say you will think on it. That's already stubbornness playing out. That's stubbornness playing out. I can promise you the church really doesn't need anything from you. Not your money. If you are not serious. We need your heart first. We need your heart first. I can stand here boldly and tell you, pastor is not interested in anything else more than that you get better. More than that you get better. So don't never come to church like you are doing us a favor. That attitude is bad. Church is a setting to help you. To make you not eternally relevant. That's why you have all the gifts around you. Don't let difficulty make you be like John. A man that you have... Jesus said, this is... And you know, even after he said all this, Jesus did not even say anything negative about him. He still heralded him and said, that man is still the greatest of all the prophets. Yet, what will happen to his own reception? His lack of... His tendency to in sleeping in dishonor will affect his own ministry. God's valuation of you doesn't change. Why does yours fluctuate? Today you honor service. Tomorrow you don't. Today you honor church meetings. Before that honor comes again, it's the next 3 months. Receive sense. Repent. Repent. Let your value for God's word, for God's men, for God's ministry, always be top notch. Let it always be top notch. Let it always be top notch. You honor Christ, you honor his ministry, you honor his men. Once that is in place, you will never disdain prophecy. Because you know prophecy is to help you in that ministry. This is Christ speaking, and these are the men he gave me. Once all those are in place, you are fine. You honor Christ. You honor his ministry. You honor his men. Hey, brethren, pray that you always honor this. Always put this first and you are fine. Honor Christ. Honor his ministry. Honor his men. Honor Christ. Honor his ministry. Honor his men. Don't seek to be argumentative. Must he always be that way? Then go and meet. If the only issue is that if you don't honor this moon as God's gift to you, they are not the only pastors. There are pastors all over in the body of Christ. If you don't accept this one as God's gift, then go just be under somebody you honor. Please. So you will not be an irrelevant believer. But you must honor God's ministry. Honor him and honor his men. If you're having difficulty in that, address it. Address it right now. If you know your honor is waning, initially you were very excited. But now honor for things, it's just like one of those things for you now. Pray that the eyes of your understanding is enlightening. You're able to see what you should see. You're able to see things as you should see them. You're able to see things as you see them. You're able to see things as you should see. As Christ sees, as God sees. Honor Christ. Honor his ministry. Honor his men. Honor his men. Honor their words. It's for you. Prophecy is yours. It's to help you. It's not to put you down. Never seek correction as a means to withdraw. Correction is of the scriptures. Don't be threatened by correction. I think I had to say that to someone. Don't be threatened by correction. Take the lesson you should take. Make your life better. Make your life better. Make your life better. Make your life better.
So I serve for the benefit of others. The life of honor is what I'm called to live. Honor the man God has placed over me. I honor the saints in fellowship together. I honor the body as God's gift to me. The life of honor is what I'm called to. So I serve. With no offenses. So I serve with joy and love. With joy and love. So I serve. For the benefit of others. A life of honor. Is what I'm called to live. One more time. So I serve. With no offenses. I serve with joy and love. With joy and love. So I serve. For the benefit of others. Because a life of honor is what you are called to live. Thank you. Sit down. A life of honor. A life of honor. A life of honor. Say, I honor Christ. I honor his ministry. I honor his men. Say it again to yourself. Say it again to yourself. I honor his men. All right, greetings from Pastor. Pastor, greetings from him, as usual. Everything done here is based on his approval.